crowd on its feet. 20,000 plus here, trying to be that sixth man. Fires a long one. Oh, the bottom! I can't take it anymore!
Welcome to The Bottom Up, a show about the Cleveland Cavaliers and NBA basketball.
She's a silver lining, Lone Ranger riding through an open space. In my mind, when she's not right there beside me, I go crazy, cause here isn't where I wanna be. And satisfaction feels like I'm just a memory. And I can't help myself, alright. Wanna hear her say it's
Bottom Up Show, Episode 3. Logan, we made it to another week. How you feeling about it?
I'm pumped.
That's it, just Loki. Alright.
I'm bummed about it.
The excitement has
awakened. Let's do another show.
Right. Well, it's been a while. We've had kind of a slow few days at the blog. Not a lot of podcasts. Honestly, post-trade deadline, it's kind of this little dead season, but still enough to talk about. Cavs had an interesting week without Kyrie. We're going to talk about the emergence here of Dion Waiters as team leader and captain of the starters without Kyrie. Had a nice little week. We'll talk about Kyrie and Dion's chemistry. It's interesting with Kyrie out, seeing Dion take that bigger role. And now that Kyrie's coming back, you know, how can we take what Dion's done and maybe kind of keep that going with Kyrie? And then we'll talk a little bit about the bench unit, which is just continuing to impress, and whether some of those guys might be worthy of consideration for the starting lineup. So let's jump into it, Logan. Dion Waiters, big week. What are some of your positives that you saw from Dion Waiters this week?
The biggest thing is that with Kyrie out, I mean, he was turned to as like the go-to guy, the guy that had to shoot at the last second. If our offense got stagnant in the fourth or something, it was expected that Dion was going to get the ball. And I thought he really delivered. He didn't make everything, but it was a pretty consistent clip. He made a lot of tough shots. His step-back jumper was hitting all week. And, I mean, he won Rookie of the Month honors, so...
Yeah, no, he definitely impressed, and the one thing I was worried about going into it, once we knew that Kyrie was going to be out for a couple of games, I was worried that Dion, in having a bigger role, and naturally becoming the go-to guy, I was worried he'd regress to what he was earlier in the season, where he's going to take a high volume of shots, but they're not going to be very efficient shots, maybe get a little tired in the legs, start jacking up some jumpers, but really, I mean, he attacked the basket regularly. Like you said, that step-back jumper, like, the confidence was growing. I mean, I was very impressed. And also knowing that he's changing the mechanics of his jump shot from earlier in this year. I mean, this is a work in progress for him. And he actually hit at a decent clip with the J, which was impressive for me. And he's getting to the rim. I mean, there was really a lot to like. Were there any things that you, or anything you saw that you weren't excited about with Dion?
I mean, really, with Dion, I think he exceeded my expectations. There's nothing glaringly bad that I saw. If anything, I almost wish he was exerted himself a little bit more. I mean, asserted himself a little bit more in the offense. He shot a good clip, but against the Clippers, you think he only shot 11 times, which is, you know, substantial. But when he becomes our go-to guy with Kyrie out, I wouldn't be so upset if he was up in the higher teens with his shots. But, you know, I think it's good that he's being more choosy and working on his percentages instead of taking necessarily a bad shot.
Right.
But he's gotten so good at getting to the rim and getting to the basket. I just want to see him slashing in more as much as he can. I feel like a lot of times he doesn't do that too terribly much. He's one of those guys that he kind of like paces himself throughout the game. So I would like to see that a little bit more, especially in the fourth. I feel like in the fourth sometimes, though he hit them a lot, hit some big shots, he'd take it ISO and do that step back J of his, which is a great step back J, but he could get a higher percentage shot with his ability to penetrate, and I didn't feel like he asserted himself there. But really, I was pretty pleased with Dion this whole week.
Yeah, he definitely did well. I agree with you wholeheartedly about attacking the basket over just maybe settling for that step back J. I was listening to some of the talk coming out of the Sloan Sports analytics conference that just went down in Boston here this week, and a lot of the talk was about how the Rockets, which is no surprise because their GM is Daryl Morey, who is one of the guys who leads the conference, a huge stat guy, advanced analytics type guy, but they're kind of crafted to be a team that drives to the basket and shoots threes, because those are the two highest return,
highest
your best return on investment, if you will, in the league, and they take the fewest amount of mid-range Js, which is your lowest return on investment. And so for Deion, who is very skilled at driving to the basket, I mean, it's almost like you can't do it enough, bro. Like, just keep doing it.
Exactly,
and he has decent court vision, so he can make dishes off of it, or at least not always turn it over if he's cut off or something like that, like Alonzo G. If you cut off Alonzo, like, God knows what's going to happen. Like, save our souls. But Deion's doing well, and you know what? When he's hitting that J, like, I can't complain too much about it, but I'm excited to see if in the future, and I don't see why this wouldn't happen, because he has a decent form, and he's working on it, but I'd be excited if a lot of those long twos became threes, and if he's not taking the three, if he's you know, driving to the rim, or he kind of uses the step back as a counter move to the drive, but keeping that balance where it's, you know, maybe 80-20 with the drives versus the step backs.
Yeah, the step, it's definitely a counter move, and he's got a pretty step back. I mean, the space he gets for such a smaller guy is unbelievable. Like, he literally leaps backwards, and it's great. But, I mean, like you said, get the higher percentage shot, 80-20, and right now I feel like it's more, it's 60-40, 50-50, you know what I mean? And that's not necessarily ideal.
No, but definitely showing growth from earlier in the year. One of the things that I'm seeing from him, and again, it's his rookie year, so he's already exceeded probably a lot of people's expectations, but, you know, he gets decent assist numbers, but I feel like him and Kyrie are similar with how they set guys up. I don't feel like they're setting guys up in amazing positions to score. I feel like it's almost one of those things where a lot of times with Deion, it's like, okay, a guy sets a screen for him, which our offense is at least a third pick and rolls for these guys, 40% almost pick and roll plays. Guy sets a screen, and okay, I'm cut off, so I'll swing it out. And then it's like, remember that old ESPN, this is Sports Center commercial with like Stu Scott and Kenny Mayne, where they had like a basketball camp for little kids, and it was like big buddies, little buddies, or something like that. And they're playing basketball, these like 10-year-olds, and they're taking it so intense. Where like Stu Scott passes it to this kid, and he's like, "All right, so when I pass it to you, pass it right back." And so he passes it to him. He's like, "No, give it back!" And like the kid takes it and goes with it. And like they're getting all pissed off. And I feel like that's kind of the style sometimes I see from Deion, where it's like, "Okay, I've passed you the ball. Like I want the ball back. Like give it back to me." Like he always wants the ball, which is cool, but that's not like hooking guys up as a distributor. So I'd like to see him and Kyrie maybe work on not just passing because my offensive like shot isn't there, but passing because I'm setting guys up so I know I can get you open and get your looks for some of these other guys, which they do sometimes, but
I hear.
It's not a consistent effort.
Well, I was going to say, like these past few games, Deion's been getting, you know, he's got 6 assists here, 7 assists here, stuff like that, which is good. And Kyrie, you know, he's averaging the same kind of numbers when he's playing. 6 assists, 7 assists here and there. And you're like, oh, you know, those are pretty good. And, you know, they're young guys, 20-year-old dudes. That's a good number. That shows great growth. But they're kind of misleading. These assists aren't necessarily because Chris Paul-esque assists, right, where he's sitting in there setting up plays for these for his teammates. They're more, like you said, they cut inside. When they're stopped, they're always looking for their shot. And when their shot's not there, just because they're so good offensively, that, you know, they might have other defenders collapse in on him, that assist is just so easy almost.
And I tell you what, I think the Cavs' scores are a little bit, like at home, they can be a little bit favorable with some of the assist numbers, because I'll be watching on Synergy sometimes if I can't catch a game live, and I'll be like, oh, okay, Deion had 7 assists, let me watch all of his assist plays. And it's like, all right, he swings it to, like, Ellington or something like that. And Ellington, like, crosses a guy over, takes 2 dribbles, and, like, makes his own shot, essentially. And it's like, oh, Deion.
Yeah.
And it's like, this isn't hockey, guys. Like, just because he touched the ball last doesn't mean that was an assist. So I think that can get inflated a little bit. But I think we're in agreement here that it's a secondary thing for both of them to get the dimes. And I'll be excited when both of their understanding of the game matures to a point where they're actually setting guys up based on the chess game of, I know you're afraid of stopping me because I'm so good offensively, so I'm going to set you up and then hook up my other guys for layups or wide open jump shots. Kind of like, I mean, LeBron is probably the best in the league at doing that for a scorer type guy. I know Chris Paul really focuses on it, but LeBron being like a 30-point caliber scorer, who also knows the chess match and can set guys up. So, you know, we'll see how that goes forward. One thing I also looked up on Synergy, because everyone, you know, the comparison that we got even from Byron Scott after they drafted Deion was Dwayne Wade. Whether it's fair or not, I think the body type is very similar. I think certain aspects of the game are similar. Deion being a rookie with 2 years less college experience, or 1 year less college experience, I think it's kind of an unfair comparison at this point because Wade's game is so mature. But two areas I'd like to see Deion add to his game. Post-ups, which as a young guy, probably not going to have a fleshed out post-up game, but I'd like to see him add that.
Yeah, that's going to take a while. That takes a while, especially for guards. That takes a while, and they're not used to
something
like
that. Yeah, he's only posted up, like, I think he's taken six shots out of the post this year, Deion. He's made four, but, yeah, not a big percentage, not something. But he's got the body to do it. I mean, he's definitely thick, and a lot of twos aren't strong like he is. So I think that's something to add for him. And Wade, that's about 10% of Wade's shots come out of the post, or possessions that he uses come out of the post. And then also basket cuts. Deion's like, he's only got like eight shots off cuts. He's only made two of them. I mean, even Kyrie has like 40 shots off cuts, which is only like 4 or 5% for Kyrie of his total used plays. But like, he's the lead guard and he still has that many shots off cuts. Like,
that might show just how young our team is as a whole and as an offense.
Yeah, yeah, very.
With not working the ball well, getting cuts for anyone. I mean, if our point guard and shooting guard are averaging so low in cuts, I mean, that, I think that's a clear sign about everyone just being so young, not knowing what to do with the ball, off and with
it. It's a big what-if, too, of, like, if Andy hadn't gotten hurt, since Andy was playing that post point so well from the elbow.
Oh, yeah, that number would be higher.
I mean, Andy, I think the apt comparison for Andy was kind of like how Marc Gasol is for the Memphis offense, where you feed him at the elbow all the time and then just say, like, find someone or do your thing. So it would have been interesting to see for Deion's growth what that would have been like. Tyler Zeller makes some okay passes, but that's a work in progress.
We're stretching it.
He sees the game now.
Okay. Don't compare him to Varejao. That was
we'll see. I do think Tyler has the opportunity to grow. I mean, Andy couldn't pass for crap when he first came in the league either, so. Tyler makes some good dishes, but yeah, it's not going to be the same.
He puts 40 pounds on, and I'll get excited.
On the keto plan.
Yeah. Oh, no, not on the keto plan.
I don't think anyone is testing Tyler Zeller for anything other than, like, cuddles and Valentine's cards. Like, I don't understand.
That would be a great news story. Even though it would be sad, like, he couldn't play for us, he'd be suspended, but I'd get a huge kick out of Tyler Zeller got busted for steroids. Yeah. Like, out of all the guys in the league, Tyler Zeller... juicing up.
Yeah,
I love it.
One of my, back in like 8th grade basketball, one of my friends got, he was like the nicest kid in the world, and this one kid was messing with him in the cafeteria one day, and so he punched him out, and so that night at practice, like, our coach is like, where's Mark at? And we're like, oh, he got suspended, he punched a kid out, and like, the dead silence in the room, as we all waited for the coach's reaction, and he was just like, wait, our Mark? And I feel like that's kind of how Tyler is, where he's just, like, the nicest person in the world. But it would almost be worth the... What's the suspension in basketball? 20 games or something like that for steroids?
It's over 20 games,
It'd kind of be worth it. I almost feel like just for that storyline. Like, remember the time Tyler Zeller...
He gets under
positive.
People's skin. He has a little edge to him. I mean, a lot of the games, he gets under
these
big guys'
UNC.
Skin.
Like, he learned from Tyler Hansbrough how to annoy the living
crap
out of people.
Oh, man, not Tyler. No, all right, he's not. Don't compare him to Tyler Hansbrough, though.
Check
that guy
watch
is
yourself.
Dirty.
Watch yourself.
That guy is dirt. He is garbage. He plays like a thug because to make up for his like horrendous athleticism.
I'm not thrilled about the Tyler Hansbrough thug. Indiana timeline there, but back at UNC, he was pretty crafty. But yeah, I think he's very much hurt.
He's garbage in the NBA. I just want to hear you say he's garbage. Tyler Hansbrough is garbage.
He's garbage. Tyler Hansbrough is garbage.
He is garbage.
I'm sorry,
Tyler. He got his brother on the team. Ben.
Ben could shoot a little bit. Ben had a nice little summer league. I watched him play a lot in the summer.
Not good enough.
I was watching Julian Mavunga from Miami when he played with Indiana for the summer league. Ben's
are they on the same team?
They played for Indiana in the Orlando summer league. So
I didn't know Mavunga played for. Did he play for a different?
Yeah, then he
team
went.
Later?
You're talking about Mavunga, or you're talking about Ben?
Mavunga.
I can't remember. I think he got a training camp invite to Indy. I don't think he played for another summer league team, but then he went to Italy. But I know Ben played for someone else in the summer league. I think Maybe I'm wrong. Oh, maybe
off topic.
Maybe I'd have to look at it. I don't know. You caught me off guard with that. I don't have my Julian notes.
Far off topic.
Yeah. we've gone to far Italy off now. Topic. We've ended up in Italy. I don't even know where we started at.
So what
we
were talking about.
I don't
about.
Even know where we're at.
So we talked about Dion. He's exploding. He's playing great without Kyrie. Here's my question for you. Is Kyrie hurting his growth? I mean, we've seen this explosiveness. Once Kyrie's out, could Dion become a better player without Kyrie in there? What do you think?
I think for his individual development, Kyrie's, I guess, injury-prone nature isn't the worst thing in the world. Like, I think it's good that now Dion, for the past week, had to prepare mentally for each game as if he is the guy. There's no security blanket in Uncle Drew to kick the ball back to. I mean, you're kicking it back to, like, CJ Miles. You know, so proceed with caution. So it's on you.
Bad example. He's been killing it. But continue.
I mean, but still. I mean, yeah.
I hear what you're saying.
It's not the same as Kyrie. So I think for him, and that's cool. It's like being a young quarterback and getting a few games, you know, off the bench to feel like the guy. But at the same time, I think him and Kyrie can make each other better. I just think they're starting to do better together, but it's too much of this, like, taking each guy, like, takes a half of the court, or, like, takes a possession, and it's like, all right, I'm going to stand on the wing, you're going to try to do something, whether it's a pick and roll or whatever else. If it doesn't work out for you, I'm over here, so just swing it to me, and then I'll do the same on my side. You go stand on the wing. And there's not any, like, real, I haven't seen Byron implement a lot of stuff where they're actually using possessions together yet. And I think that's probably just part of the process of Dion's a rookie. Where Kyrie's basketball IQ is probably way higher than where Dion is, definitely way higher than where Dion's is at. So I think over time, hopefully, we'll start to see more of that. I'd love to see them incorporate just study film of what are Chris Paul and Chauncey Billups doing. You know, Isaiah Thomas and Joe Dumars back in the day is a great comparison. Lynn and Harden would be a really good comparison. Like, what are these teams doing to what works and what doesn't work for them with two great guards that do best when they have the balls in their hands, you know? So I don't know how do you feel about that?
I feel like, I mean, I think Kyrie's definitely holding him back in some ways. In my opinion, with young guys like this, especially if they show signs of being, you know, potential superstars, it's important to learn your own game first in some way. I mean, it's a whole lot easier to figure yourself out first. And I think, and then before you incorporate it with someone else's talents and stuff. And when you're trying to figure out yourself and figure out how to play on a team and figure out other teammates, you know, how they play and their flaws. And I think it can be pretty daunting task. I'm not saying it can't work, but you know, when Kyrie's out, Dion can relax a little bit more.
But the Cavs are so bad without those two that, like, you know, for Dion as a rookie, I mean, can you imagine if there wasn't, like, if Kyrie didn't exist, if Baron Davis's contract expired and we never had the pick?
Oh, I hear,
like,
what you're saying.
I feel like the confidence level would be shaken. I feel like Kyrie's kind of that security blanket, for better or for worse. Like, maybe it has helped Dion work on his own game and practice more and not feel that pressure.
I agree with you. If we're talking about Tristan Thompson or we're talking about Tyler Zeller here, it would be harder without a Kyrie. But the difference is not just in positions, but the difference is, in my opinion, maybe this is just how I see things, I think Dion, unlike Tyler Zell and Tristan Thompson, who I think can be good, productive players in this league, don't have the potential that he does to be a superstar. And though that weight can be heavy, if you want to be, like, a bona fide superstar in this league, you know, you're going to have to carry that weight. And I think Dion, unlike the other two again, kind of wants it. I mean, you've seen him. I mean, early on in the season against the Clippers, he showed, like, that was one of our first five games or whatever, that he, you know, was ready for this, wanted to be in the spotlight. We were at LA, you know, and he goes off and takes over the game and becomes the go-to guy down the stretch. And so he's not afraid. So that's why I think it's different. If he was more timid, then I would agree, and he would definitely need a security blanket to ease himself in. But this guy is hungry. He wants the ball. He wants to figure out, you know, trial by error. He wants to go in there. He wants to do whatever he can and fail by slamming his head against the wall. You know what I mean? He doesn't want
to
just watch and learn.
To push him forward, which is good.
Exactly.
That's why they took him.
So that's why I think the personalities are different. That's why I think it's actually beneficial for him to play quite a bit of games without Kyrie, because he gets this time to really spread his wings and try some things. And that's why I think they kind of hold him back. That being said, I'm not crazy, and I don't I think they need to play together because in the long run, they're both going to be here for a long time. Yeah. So they need to figure out how to play together at their maximum potential. And I think it can work. I think he can learn with Kyrie, but I just think it might be a little harder is all.
Well, actually, this is a good way to transition to our last topic. With all that being said, you know, now that Kyrie's coming back, hopefully he's healthy for the last, you know, 20, 15 games, whatever we got left here, to end the year. Do you think, with the way the bench unit has played, they've played extremely well since adding Livingston, Spates, and Ellington. Like you said, CJ Miles has emerged. I mean, this is really a unit that's playing quite well. Luke Walton, of course, wrote an article about him this week on the blog. Do you think it would be useful to for Deion's growth to make him the sixth man, to put him with the bench unit, and maybe put like CJ Miles or Wayne Ellington in the starting lineup so that Deion gets more time to run the offense himself, which is his strength. He'll get some time with Kyrie, obviously, just based on the rotation. And then you'll still probably keep the bench some strength. You know, how do you feel about that potentially as an option?
I like it potentially as an option. I mean, I like it a lot. I mean, we kind of did that earlier in the season for a while. Not too long ago, actually. It was like a month before this stretch where he's really emerged. He was
doing the sixth man, and that's how he fought his way back up. Or was that just a benching?
I
can't remember.
I think it was just a benching. I think it was a legitimate. I think he may have missed a few games, but it wasn't serious or anything. Yeah. I think it was a legitimate benching. And it happened because, I mean, I think for what you're saying right here, he wanted. Byron thought he needed to get his groove going. And he did. Working with the second unit really got him because he got the ball the way he wanted. He got to run the offense himself, and I thought it was big for him. But I can see that. It worries me a little bit, but I think that could be a good thing. The only reason it worries me is because, like you said, our bench unit's playing so well, and it worries me to mess up their swag going right now. I don't want to throw a wrench in there, but I think that would probably be the smart play, as long as Deion understands it and accepts it. I mean, if Deion's not happy with it, it might not be worth it, because,
he won't
I mean, he is, you have to let him understand he's a Manu Ginobili. You are a starter. You are, and he needs to be there in the fourth quarter, in the final few minutes. I think he needs that exposure with running with Kyrie. I mean, I think that could be a good thing. I mean, what do you think?
I think it's definitely interesting to look at. I don't know if this year is the... I almost think this year, and this is maybe where we differ just in our talking about what's good for Deion in year one, but he spent so much time as kind of the guy with the ball at Syracuse when he did play. Like, when he came off the bench, it was his team. And that's kind of the role he played. So that's his comfort zone. And I definitely think that in the future, you obviously want to give him opportunities to be in that comfort zone, but I think it's important first year in the league. The same way he's got to work on that man-on-man defense, I think it's important for him to work on playing with another guard that's really good. And I don't know if Ellington or CJ Miles is good enough to make it where it's like, okay, this is worth, that's more valuable than having Deion get that experience next to Kyrie, extensive experience. Now, going forward, if I look at that draft or whatever, depending on how the Cavs do in the lottery, which they've been winning some games, and there's a pack of teams that they might actually, quote-unquote, pass up to get a pick maybe closer to, like, 10th overall. But if you ended up in the realm of Shabazz Muhammad or Ben McLemore, you might be able to bring in one of those guys, have them start next to Kyrie, bring Deion off the bench, and that's, like, your triumvirate of guards, for the next 5-7 years. That could be interesting, because I think that could work really well with Deion as that Manu Ginobili, like you said. But I don't know. I feel like for him to learn how to play next to Kyrie, he needs to play next to Kyrie. And I know you're not saying, like, we'll never do that. Just bring off the bench.
I mean, yeah, I still want the fourth quarter and the clutch moments. These guys need to be on the floor together as a learning experience more than anything. And plus, they're the two best guys. And that really, I think that time is way more important. I know a lot of guys see starting as such a status symbol. Yeah. Like, I was a starter. But in my opinion, it's not who started a lot of time. It's who finishes. It's who's the guy out there in the final 2 minutes in a tight game. And he would definitely be that guy. So I hear what you're saying, but at the same time, like, he's going to get that exposure. I think he's getting the best of both worlds if he's coming off as a sixth man. I think that's a perfect role for him, and I really like
it. Yeah, I think you touched on it earlier. I think it's a confidence thing where if he was okay with it and Byron thought that was the right move, mm-hmm. then by all means, it's probably something to explore. But I don't know where his head's at on that. That's probably definitely a behind closed doors conversation that only Byron knows how he thinks he'd react to it. But it's an interesting proposition. I mean, it's what he did at Syracuse, and I don't think there's any shame in it, and I think he came to terms with it under Boeheim.
I mean, if he did it at Syracuse, I mean, it gives me the impression that he would embrace this.
Yeah, I mean, I know it was difficult for him at Syracuse to come off the bench. He almost left the program. Like, he did not take kindly to that. But he also ended up being drafted fourth overall coming off mm-hmm. the bench, so.
I hope he's learned that.
Yeah,
it's kind
of like Pavlov, clearly it works. It's positive reinforcement.
Yeah, it's not a bad thing for me, right. Like, but, you know, you never know. You don't want to piss him off in his first year here, but at the same time, you don't want
to
call him.
And we're so close to the end, too. I don't know if it's worth jerking his role around, but it's, I mean, God, going forward, I'm not against it.
I say it's almost worth it because it's so close to the end. Like, what the heck are we playing for?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
You know? If not to tinker around and see what's going to work for us next year.
Yeah, that's fair. I'll try it out. But, yeah, we'll have to see what Byron does. How do you feel about playing Luke Walton 40 minutes a night? No, I'm just joking. we all know I'd like that. I think Luke would probably fall apart after.
Most painful player in the NBA.
He just hurts to watch, but I love him. I wrote a grand soliloquy about my passion for Luke Walton and his father on the blog, but obviously I don't think the back could hold up to more than 15 a night, 20 a night. It's like after he plays 23 or 4 minutes, like after the Heat game, I really honestly didn't expect him to play the next night after either of those games he had midweek, because it's like if he plays 24 minutes a night, you just feel like he just blew out three ligaments somewhere. But what I really want to ask is, how do you feel about Spates maybe starting over Zeller, pushing Zeller back to the bench?
I think Spates is definitely more productive right now for us. I love Spates. Even when he makes a bad decision, I make an excuse for it. I don't know what it is about the guy, but I think it's good that he stays with our second unit. I think it's good for Zeller to be with the first team, and I also think he helps anchor that second unit offensively, because, I mean, if you're in trouble getting points or whatever, and right now Dion's not with him, so he's not going to be the guy doing it, you know, you lob it into the big man, and Spates has made stuff happen. I think, and he's good with the leadership for the second unit. I think he's good where he is right now. I don't see us pushing him in the starting lineup.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess I probably don't see it either, because I feel like if Byron would have done that, he probably would have done that already.
A while ago.
The one thing that I look at where I think it could be beneficial is, and this, yeah, you don't even have to start him to do this. You can just play them minutes together. But I think the way Spates talks on defense is so valuable, especially because our guards are not particularly good at defense or the rotations. Like, Dion gets lost. Like, Dion's not terrible.
Not particularly. Yeah, really horrible. No.
Dion isn't terrible man-on-man. Like, when his guy has the ball, he battles. But when his guy doesn't have the ball,
definite effort.
Good lord. Like, if the ball's on the opposite side, he just floats into the paint. Like, loses track of his guy, like, doesn't keep good fundamentals there, and then we lose him.
It's why I love Dion. He wants to be guarding every guy. He just wants to go where the ball is.
He's like a little kid playing soccer. Like, he just swarms to it.
Yeah, that's great. That's good. We can teach you how not to be that way, but I like that you want to be that way. That's great.
But I think, for lack of a better way to describe it, I think Spates could be the shot caller, because he talks. And maybe Tyler talks a lot, but I can't imagine as a rookie, Tyler's really an amazing... He doesn't play amazing defense, so I can't imagine he's speaking amazing defense.
You know, Tristan talks a lot, though. Yes. Yeah, he talks a lot.
Does he say useful things?
He does. I don't know if he's saying the right things.
I feel like Tristan would just say really nice things. Like, good job, guys. Like, we're all trying so hard. Like, I love all of you.
Great effort. I mean, I want a little Perkins in him. I love Perkins. We need a guy like Perkins. That's what I want Zeller to be. I want Zeller to gain 40, 50 pounds of muscle.
I don't think.
And just... be such a jerk, like, always have a scowl, like, have no happiness in your entire soul.
He's like the nicest guy in the world. He's so pleasant.
Yeah, and it's a big problem. That's why people like hurting him. That's why DeAndre Jordan intentionally elbowed him and broke his orbital bone.
I think it'd be easier to draft or sign a guy who is angry. We should get, what's the dude for, he played for like, he might still play for Atlanta, but the guy who, like, Yvon Johnson or something like that.
Oh, the angriest guy in the NBA. I love him.
Like, let's go, man. Kyrie needs an enforcer anyways. Kyrie gets banged around.
He's like a good, like, Reggie Evans, in my opinion.
Yeah, I don't know. Let's find the... We need to do, like, our Chris Grant... We got so many picks. Like, Chris Grant's draft interviews at some point. Like, yeah, we're always looking for, like, oh, he's such a hard worker. He's a great character guy. Like, I'd totally want to bring him home to, you know, have him marry my daughter, blah, blah, blah. We need a guy who someone's like, holy crap. Like, do not let him around females or small
he's
animals.
He's going to eat my lunch.
Like, don't, plastic silverware at lunch, guys. Don't give him metal thing. Like, just, we need one of those guys who's just crazy.
That's an Ivan. Yeah. That's an Ivan. Or a Perkins.
Call up Danny Ferris.
Perkins is so scary.
Yeah, but Perkins is, well, I guess, yeah. And not that Ivan's doing it.
I don't want to pay his contract, though.
I'd rather just, we just need, it's like a goon in hockey. You just need some guy who doesn't expect big minutes, but when he gets in, like, if you lay a finger on Zeller's pretty hair, or like Kyrie Irving or something like that, like, you might die.
I think Zeller's going to be that guy. He's growing out the beard. It's looking rough.
I think he might try.
He's going
to
be the guy. He's going to gain 40, 50 pounds of muscle. I don't know how he's going to do it. He's probably going to juice up, and I'm cool with that. Get 50 pounds of muscle, get mean as hell, go on roid rages during games. He's going to be great for us. Big thanks for Zeller.
I think when they drafted him, they definitely projected him as the meanest guy in the league, growing a beard and getting on steroids. I think that's the player
currently. You know, I think that actually might be a huge reason why I'm so down on Zeller all the time. Mean. It's because he's so nice. He just seems so jovial, and he's just a scrawny guy, and he's just like, oh, you know, like, happy-go-lucky, I went to UNC, like, I have great fundamentals. Yeah, I just want him to be, like, angry, like, you're a big guy, be a big guy, be kind of like, wag your finger when you block people, because he gets a significant amount of blocks, though.
I think his biggest issue is that he is so self-aware, because he's very intelligent, he sees the big picture, he's incredibly self-aware about his strengths and weaknesses, and I love when they interview him after practice and stuff, because it's like, you only have to tell this guy what he needs to get better at, because he knows it. But the issue is that he knows it. And so, from a confidence standpoint, like, he knows his weaknesses. Yeah. Like, that's what, like, we've talked about with Deion. Mm-hmm. Deion is...
He needs a little irrational CJ confidence.
Or Deion confidence. CJ Remember, Deion said he was, like, the best guard in the league before the season started.
That's great.
I
can't even play that's the game. That's awesome. You should always
say should. That. And I... Well, you that's can great. Say it. It's a difference of if you believe it. I actually think Deion might sort of believe it.
Deion believes it. Deion believes he's going to be the greatest guard ever, and I love it. Another reason why I love Deion.
Yeah. You definitely need the irrational. Like, I almost feel like to be great, you have to have a rational confidence, and maybe that's where Zeller's potential ceiling could be. He knows what he needs to work on, so he will work on it, but until he gets there, it'd be nice if he wasn't scared of people, but, you know. Growing out the beard was a big... that's a big decision for him. I mean, you really gotta...
Very masculine now. He looked like a child.
Yeah, really, it's the...
I honestly, big bold prediction time. I think Deion is going to be unbelievable in this league. I think he's going to be one of the top 10 players in this league in like 5 years.
He profiles really, really well. And obviously the weight comparisons are always there. But if he gets the shot better...
I think he's going to blow up.
I feel like he's got a lot of Harden potential too. I think Wade and Harden are the two comparisons where it's like, dude, just bide your time. Keep grinding. I mean, who knew?
A little more Wade than Harden. I think he's got a little bit more, he'd rather, like, a little more grit. Like, Harden's, like, fancy. Like, Harden doesn't, like, Dwayne Wade, like, screams and, like, glares, and that's kind of like what Deion does. While Harden, like, gets a layup and, like, doesn't smile, pats Chandler Parsons' bottom and, like, shoots his free throws.
That whole Rockets team pats a lot of bottoms. They're funny to watch. They just enjoy playing.
I wish Kyrie... This is... All right, so I think Deion's going to be so good. I have to say this real quick. And this is what... My fears are outrageous because I'm so confident in Deion's ability. I think Deion... I'm worried about Deion and Kyrie, like, 5 years from now, not being buddies, and we're not going to be able to keep both of them. That's my irrational fear. Because I want them to be like Lynn and Parsons. I want them to like share yogurt together and like
that,
ride bicycles
that is love
on the
that
pier.
That is like, very rare. But yeah, no, I hear you. I would love it if Deion had flowing locks like Parsons as well. But
that's not
can't have everything, you know. But yeah, no, I totally agree. That going forward, that'll be, and that's the question of their chemistry. Are they? You know, I don't even want to say a rivalry, but, like, are they going to be boys, or are they going to kind of have, like, this little, like, weird KD and Russell Westbrook type rivalry, where it's, like, inferiority complex or something like that? I don't know. Second banana.
Well, KD and Russell Westbrook, they signed. They worked it out. I'd love it if they were, like, KD and Russell Westbrook. Yeah.
Well, they also had to jettison Harden, which, granted, they did that probably more for cap reasons, but there also wasn't enough. I don't think the town was big enough for all three of them.
No, it wasn't. I mean, that was a great trade.
Yeah, it worked out.
That was a great trade. Everyone says it wasn't.
Yeah,
it was a great trade.
I think I could value for him. Especially because no one... I mean, we knew Harden was good, but who really freaking thought?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I did.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see. I think there's a lot of potential going forward, right? Yeah. But Deion, I think this has been a week that we will look back on, hopefully, and say, you know, Deion really turning the corner here. I am so excited to watch this game tonight with the Knicks and see how they work together. Now that you gotta imagine Deion's confidence is very high.
Is Deion out? I thought he was sick.
He's questionable. We'll see. I could check the Twitter right now, but I'm too
busy. Better play.
Hopefully he does. Hopefully
I would play with the flu. I hate when people sit out with the flu. You can give me 10 minutes with the flu.
I feel like I disagree with you strongly there.
Really?
I feel like you would be so soft with a cold.
Me? Yeah. Bro, I'm so hard all the time.
I guess you should talk to your doctor about that, man. I don't know.
I go hard all the time is what I meant to say.
Well, we'll wrap it up. Bottom up show. Thanks for tuning in, guys. Enjoy the rest of your night and keep an eye out for more content on the blog. Hopefully there'll be some more news for us to write about. Bottomupshow.blogspot.com. Check us out on iTunes, Twitter, Facebook, everything. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you guys later.